Welcome to the Sunday morning message for May 17th, 2020. And our message today is from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, starting at verse 10. And we'll go through the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. With the gospel. The focus Paul's talking about here was the gospel and how Paul came to understand the gospel, what it did to him, what it did for him, how it changed his life, and how it glorified God. So we want to take a look at that this morning. There's one reason people can know that the Word of God is true, because it changes people's lives. The gospel does that. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and he matches it up, administers it directly to our hearts, and then he changes us from the inside out with the gospel. And the gospel is given very simply. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3, the second half of verse 3 and 4, very shortly, it just says there that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel, pure and simple. Christ died, was buried, and rose again so that we could be alive in Christ and not have to die in our sins. The good news is Jesus is alive, and because of that, he changes lives today. He changed Paul. And it's the resurrected Christ that did Paul, that made those changes in his life. And it's the resurrected Christ that makes changes in our lives today. So we have that in common with Paul. But here it states in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Paul's talking about the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll ask God to bless our time in his word, and then we'll move on from there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Pray that you'd use it, that it might be a blessing to each one that hears it. And Father, that it might never be, this video might never be a substitute for the getting together with your people in a church setting. We've been restricted from that these past months. But I pray that as we get together again, that each one that hears this message today will be in a church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church of their own. So work your will with this, Father. Just pray that you administer the gospel now to us. It's already been stated once in this message, and it'll be stated many more times. But use it for your glory. Father, this is your word. It's your book. And I pray that you take your spirit and minister it to each one's heart in a very individual, a very personal way, so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can become more like Christ, our Savior, and that you would be glorified in us as you were glorified in Paul. Guide us now, I pray, my Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pleasing God, the first thing now we're looking at, verse 10 to 14. I'll read verses 13 and 14. It says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. For Paul was a go-getter, and he was going to go get Judaism. He was just a real hotshot, you might call him. But the gospel is not pleasing. Look at verse 10 again. It's kind of an interesting set of pair of questions. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What he's saying there is preaching the gospel is not a crowd pleaser. It's not something that people enjoy hearing. Unsaved people do not enjoy hearing the gospel. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about the grace of God in Jesus Christ coming to die for people's sins and offering this free salvation to people that don't deserve it. That's the grace part. They don't want to hear that. And Paul had just got done in verses 8 and 9. He said the same phrase, let him be accursed. Now, that's pretty severe speaking. And as severe as that is, Paul is saying that his own life used to be just like that. Used to be accursed. But now it's pleasing to God. And if you go down to verse 24, it says, and they glorified God in me. The gospel is never going to be a crowd pleaser. People don't like to hear the gospel because they like to think they've got it worked out in their mind, that they'll do enough good stuff in their lifetime to counterbalance the bad stuff, and that it'll work out on the balanced plus side of for the good stuff, and they'll get to go to heaven. And hopefully that's how it's going to fall out. And it'll fall out, I can guarantee you that, with that kind of a philosophy. But persuading men, pleasing men, that's what he's talking about here in verse 10. And that's not something that what a slave of Christ does. He said at verse 10, for if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I'd still be hooked into Judaism. I'd still be doing the things that pleased the Pharisees, because I was a Pharisee, Paul was saying. He knew that whole drill. He knew how it all worked. He'd been there. He'd done that. He might even have had the T-shirt and the coffee mug and the sunglasses. But it was all Paul's background. That's not what he was now. If Paul still did that, he would not be Christ's bondslave. But Paul now is, and because his heart and life is changed, he's a different guy than he used to be. If believing the gospel doesn't change you, then something's wrong. Because a true believer of Christ, he's trusting Christ, then it will change you. If believing the gospel does not change you, then you've not believed it. And you're trusting something else for the salvation. And people that teach you can be saved by something else are doing what Paul said earlier, are preaching another gospel. I think he says that in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians. A different gospel, another gospel. And it's not a good thing. And Paul is saying very carefully and very severely, they are accursed. They're doomed. So when you go to witness to unsaved people, don't expect them to go, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. They're not going to like it. But it says something to them. Don't expect they'll be happy, because the gospel is not a crowd pleaser. The gospel is not pleasing. But the gospel of was what Paul preached, and that was revealed to Paul. The gospel of Paul revealed, verses 11 and 12. How did a guy like Paul come to be saved? Now, we have his account of salvation in Acts 9, Acts 22, and again in Acts 26, before King Agrippa. And all three tell of his Damascus Road experience. But the preachers of another gospel were telling people that Paul got all his teachings from the apostles at Jerusalem. And what he had was stamped and signed, sealed, delivered, gospel given to the Jews. And it was a Jewish gospel. And so when Paul came to the Galatians trying to give these Gentiles the gospel, the Judaizers were trying to brand what Paul was teaching as for Jews only. And it didn't apply to them, so they didn't have to follow it. But Paul's going to great lengths to deny those teachings of the Judaizers. He's going to great lengths to show that God made a separation between Paul and between the 12 apostles. In fact, it's very definite here, and we'll see it here as we move through these verses together. Paul's saying this is not the case. The gospel does apply, because verse 11 says the gospel that Paul had been given him, was given to him, was not according, how does it say that? In the last part of verse 11, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, you could imply by man, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So verse 12 is clarifying what verse 11 says, that he didn't get it from another man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Damascus Road experience. Christ revealed himself first to Paul. He knocked him off his donkey and threw him to the ground, and then he blinded him through this revelation of Jesus Christ. And that revealed glory blinded Paul for 3 days. It also changed Paul from the inside out. He didn't stay the same man that he was on the way to Damascus as he was when he came back from Damascus. It was a different man at that point. And from that point on, Paul would be a different guy from the one that had set out to kill followers of the way in Damascus. Now he is preaching the same gospel. that the followers of the way in Damascus preached and believed. There was no intermediary involved. God got a hold of Paul by direct revelation to him, God and Paul, and he did it directly. And it was no intermediary involved, straight from God to him, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit does the same style of ministry today, where God's Holy Spirit works in the heart of the believer and teaches him what he needs to know. It's the Spirit that touches hearts and changes lives, and we'll look into that a little bit more later. But God opens the understanding, and it's a direct work. And others may preach and teach, but it's the Spirit that takes God's word and touches hearts and changes lives, always from the inside out. The gospel that Paul persecuted, verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. We lose in the English a lot of what the original language tells us here. The gospel that Paul persecuted changes people, like, again, from the inside out. And Paul contrasts his present with his past in verse 13. It's like he's saying, look what I used to do. You know, I was a nasty guy. The Galatians had heard of how Paul persecuted the church of God beyond measure. And it was a continual, the Greek here gives us a continual aspect of this action. It didn't just happen and happen. It was constantly grinding away at those people, constantly something that they were fearing. It's an ongoing action from Paul. He tried to destroy the church. He tried to waste it. He tried to ravage it like a dog shaking a toy, you know, and he's just and trying to make it fall apart, and often does. That's what he was doing to the church. That's what the original gives us a picture of. And verse 14 shows how Paul had advanced. Look at verse 14. It says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Now, advanced means move forward, but literally it means hacking away through the underbrush and blazing a pioneer trail. That's what Paul was doing. He was blazing a pioneer trail in Judaism, overflowingly zealous for the traditions of his fathers. So he knew the scriptures, but he put with equal weight the traditions of the fathers. This is Jesus' problem in the Gospels. You'll find him approaching the Pharisees with this. Well, they put actually the traditions of the fathers above the scriptures of God's word. And so they were making a difference here. It wasn't a good difference. And so Judaism was, in following these traditions, were contradicting scripture, and they had gone away. The religion had gotten away from God completely. It had gone apostate. And it was not a good thing. But God wasn't going to leave Paul alone. The 12 apostles were given, but they were mainly Jewish, and they were sent to the Jews, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's that aspect. They came first, but now God was raising up an apostle separate from those, different, and that he was going to give God's word and his gospel to the Gentiles. Now this was something new, and it was something, a major cultural shift. And there may be some today that hear this message, and God's not going to leave you alone. He's given you a gospel to the Gentiles, to the Jews. As far as God's concerned, it's all one to him. The church today is made up of Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter to God. He knows his people. He knows those who are his. But the Jew gets saved by the blood of Christ just like the Gentile does. It's all together. And God is not going to leave you alone. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're listening to this message, this is just another way that God is not leaving you alone. He will keep after you to be saved. He will keep after you to put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, not you yourself, but Jesus Christ to do it for you, to accept his Son and to be saved from sin. So there you have pleasing God and the aspects of pleasing God, calling of God. Verse 15 to 20. Paul's been blazing a trail in Judaism, and he's been zealous for the traditions of the fathers. But now we come down here to verse 15. God got a hold of Paul. But when it pleased God, he says, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem, verse 17, but I went to Arabia. So he goes on and talks about what he did. Now, he was called before he was born. That's an amazing thing to me. I don't know how God does that. That's kind of an unusual working, as far as I'm concerned, in my own thinking. Nothing's too hard for God. But he did that before he was ever born. And that isn't the first time this has happened. God has done this with other men in Scripture. God had done so with Samson in Judges 13, remember? The angel came to Manoah and Mrs. Manoah and told him, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be set aside before conception to serve God. Imagine that. That baby, well, didn't even exist yet, and yet God knew what he was going to do. He was called before birth. Paul is saying the same thing in verse 15. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1. Again, he was called before birth. Isaiah says that very clearly there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He was called before birth. And then John the Baptist in Luke 1, verses 13 to 15. Probably the most striking of all in my thinking, because it says he will be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. How does that work? I don't get that. But it works. God did it. God could use Paul. But God had a work to do with Paul. What does it say in verse 15? When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Called me through his grace. What grace? Well, look what a stinker he was in verse 13. It took a lot of grace. God was very gracious to Paul, just as he's gracious to every one of us who comes to put our faith in him, a Savior. But God had this work to do, and as Paul, he had made a mess of the church. He made sure many believers died for their faith. He killed people. In fact, he carried with him all his life, and he always marveled at God's grace in his opening, his greetings to the letters that he wrote. Our salvation is only by grace. None of us deserve anything from God. We've got nothing to bring to God. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, you need to make a commitment to Christ. Well, if you come right down to it, we as human beings, we've got nothing to commit to Christ. We come to God empty-handed. We have nothing to offer God. Some of us come to God empty-headed. And many, when it comes to religion and spiritual things, a lot of us are empty-headed, literally, because our conceptions that we bring with us are not scriptural, and they have no relevance to what Scripture really teaches. So our salvation is only by grace, and God's grace meant a lot to Paul, and it should mean a lot to us. But we see this revelation in verse 16. It says, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He didn't say reveal his Son to him. He said reveal his Son in him. There's a difference. Now, I'm revealing Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 to 24 to you. It's external. I'm speaking the words. This is God's word. I'm giving it to you. You can take it in, and the Spirit can work with that to teach you and to instruct you and to grow you spiritually. That's a ministry to you, from me to you. But here is God doing something. He's short-circuiting the process a little bit here. We see that Christ Jesus was not taught to Paul. God had to reveal his teachings about Christ to Paul directly. And God, in verse 16, said, revealed his Son in Paul, not to him, but in him. It was an internal teaching God was doing for Paul. An internal teaching, much like the Holy Spirit does in his ministry to believers. Like I mentioned before, he takes his word, teaches it to us as he did to Paul. But this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, hold your place here in Galatians chapter 1, and turn back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John 16. When the Comforter has come. I love this passage. But in John 16, verse 13. And it says there, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now get this next phrase here. And he will tell you things to come, I'm sorry, that wasn't the phrase I was thinking of. He will tell you things to come. Go on to verse 14. He will glorify me. And here's the thing that God does from his spirit directly to your spirit. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, God uses his spirit to teach us God's word. That's the revelation in you that God does with his Holy Spirit today to believers. But now we've got to go back in time to the time of the Galatians in the first century. And what was God doing to Paul here? Well, he was revealing this in Paul. What was he revealing in Paul? He was revealing Jesus Christ in Paul. He was teaching him who Jesus Christ is. It's like Paul was saying there on the Damascus Road, "Who are you, Lord?" Paul did not know who Jesus was. Jesus Christ had been crucified and ascended, and that was all said and done by this time, by the time Paul got onto that Damascus Road. So Paul was dealing with the resurrected Christ, just like we deal with the resurrected Christ. And Paul was teaching, being taught directly from the Holy Spirit in him. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ in him. And again, Paul is stating the fact that his salvation and his calling to serve God as an apostle is totally separate from the 12 apostles. God worked directly with Paul here, just as God works directly with you. But this was a little bit, I want to say it's a little bit different, because Paul was going to use, or God was going to use Paul in a whole different way. Paul was going to be used to write much of the New Testament. Paul was going to speak, have a ministry directly to the Gentiles, something that hadn't been done before. So this was all new, it was all different. God was using it in a different way. And it was not by apostles, verse 17. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem, he says, to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Wow, Arabia, not your vacation spot. It's like getting, you know, you're on the Wheel of Fortune and you win a all expense paid trip to inner Arabia, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Oh, joy. You're going to go out and sit in the desert for 3 months in a tent and die of thirst. Sounds like fun. No, God was taking him out to the desert to teach him. So Paul, instead of going from Damascus down to Jerusalem to the apostles to get training from them, God says, no, I want you to go out to Arabia. So here's the first thing that happens when someone gets saved. They quit going their own way, and they're more concerned about doing what God wants them to do than what they wanted to do themselves. There's a difference there. And God's will becomes important to the person that's truly trusting Christ as their Savior. So Paul did this. Now, Paul had a great legal mind, and so God took him out to the desert to teach him. And that intellect that he had was well taught in the scriptures and the Mosaic law. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. He was well taught there. So he understood all these different things. He goes through some of that in the Acts 22 passage. If you read on past verse 10, as we did in our scripture reading, you'll see that. Now God was taking what Paul had learned, all his background, all his teaching, and what the Holy Spirit was teaching him, and the Spirit was going to help Paul correlate all of that together into the truth of Scripture. We find that what God has taught Paul coming out in Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. He wants to do good, but evil is present with me. Again, God's teaching him that. We don't have that from the prophets so much as we do from revelation from God. And you go to 1 Corinthians 11. And I like to use that passage for our communion services. But the first thing Paul says in that passage was, "For I received of the Lord that which also I declare to you." Received of the Lord when? Well, probably in Arabia, when God was teaching him all these things. He received this of the Lord. He wasn't there at the upper room. He wasn't anywhere near there. But God had given him this teaching. So this is where this all came in. And he put this all together, God did, for Paul, with the purpose and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the pieces had to come together during those 3 years. And God had taken Moses to the desert to train him. Moses was the son of Pharaoh, and he shot out to the desert for 40 years. And God had done that. He did that with Abraham. He grabbed him out of Ur of the Chaldees and sent him over to some place called Canaan. It was the low rent district in Palestine at that time. No, it wasn't really, but it was just some place that he'd never been before. It was pretty much uninhabited, and God was using that to teach Abraham. Isaac, he did it with. Again, with Jacob. He grabbed Jacob out of his loving family. That was a dysfunctional family, but still he took him to Egypt and to the deserts there and taught him and trained him. Paul was in good company with his desert training. That's why I call it the Bible College, the Arabian Bible College and Seminary. It's kind of where he went to school. But God had taken Moses and he'd done all this with Peter then. Now, so here's Paul. No, done all this with Paul, I'm sorry. But other than Peter, it says in verse 17, but I went to Arabia, returned to Damascus, verse 18, and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. He's an apostle, yeah. And you went with him, remained with him 15 days. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. The original word for see there is to get acquainted with. And the connotation of that is to tell the story. It's the idea of Paul going up to Peter to tell the story he was going to get acquainted with. And so other than Peter, Paul only saw James, the apostle. Then to verify this, Paul states a Jewish oath in verse 19, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And then he gives this Jewish oath. Now the Jews and the Judaizers reading this would catch this right away. We look at it and say, well, that's verse 20 in Galatians 1. But it says, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. So he's stating that this is truth. All of God's word is true. You can take it to the bank. And that was Paul stating this truth of God's word. God's word is true. You can count on that. I can count on that. We can understand that God's word is truth. And our third point here is serving God. Verse 21. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face in the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now, hold on a minute. Didn't we hear about Cilicia earlier? Sure did. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3 of Acts chapter 22. It says there, I am indeed a Jew, Paul's talking here, born in Tarsus of Cilicia. Cilicia is where Paul's hometown was. And so he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 21, afterward I went into the regions of Syria where the church at Antioch was, and Cilicia where his hometown was. Can you imagine Paul going there and he's preaching the gospel? Verse 22 says, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Why was he unknown by face to the churches that were in Christ in Judea? Because he'd never been there. God was keeping his ministry separate, apart from that of the Jewish apostles. The Jews, Paul was not sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And he kept always going to the Jews whenever he went in his missionary journeys. He would go to the Jews and he'd try to minister to them. They'd always reject him and kick him out. Maybe a few would go along. But generally speaking, they have rejected his teaching and he ministered to the Gentiles. So again, this area of Cilicia included Tarsus, Paul's hometown. And I'm sure the family and friends of Paul were surprised by this new Paul that came back and how he was so different than he used to be. But his ministry was only to the Gentiles. The one time in Acts 26, when Paul was in the temple, and you can look at Acts chapter 26 yourself, look up Paul's testimony about his salvation. You'll find Paul was in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus appeared to him and said, it's time for you to leave. The Jews will not accept your ministry here. And so he left. So he's preaching the gospel. That verse 21 implies Paul went there to do work for Christ. He went there to serve the Lord. And there's a principle there for us. You know, God didn't save you just so you could be ornamental, as nice as that might be and as ornamental as you might be. God saved you to serve him. He didn't save you to just sit in a pew and not do anything. He saved you to serve him. And this is what Paul was doing, verse 21. After he was saved, he went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and implied in that is that he was preaching. He was teaching the word of God as God had taught him in the deserts of Arabia. And so God was glorified in all of this. Verse 23, but they were hearing only he, now they, who's they, who's they, wait a minute, who's they? The churches in Judea. But they were hearing only he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Man, that'd be a neat thing to be able to tell people. That somebody else glorified God in me. And it sounds a little, I don't know, to my thinking, it sounds like a little, well, I'm on the spotlight. No, God wasn't doing that. He was preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And what Paul got from God matched up with what the 12 apostles were preaching, the same gospel, because it came from the same Jesus Christ, only now resurrected. And Galatians, it was one of his letters, and the Judeans glorified God. That ministry affects us today. Galatians was written by Paul. Galatians, Ephesians, I mean, I could go through the whole New Testament list. Most of the books in the New Testament are written by Paul. God was using that. He was preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And what a change God had made. And they glorified God in Paul. The guy that had been persecuting the churches, killing people, killing Christians, men, women, I don't know about children, but he was killing people for their faith in Christ. Now he had turned 180 degrees in the other direction, and now he was able to glorify God. The same guy that held the cloaks for Stephen's stoning in Acts 7, and he was consenting unto Stephen's death. Again, here was the same guy, and now he was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, this is a Paul ministry. It wasn't a replacement for Judas's ministry. They took care of that back there, and Matthias was chosen by lot, and that was Matthias's ministry, and that was a Jewish ministry to the Jews. Paul's ministry was different. He was a different kind of an apostle. It was a whole new ministry, not to Jews, but to Gentiles. Now, what can you take home with this if you're not already there? Well, when God saves a person, he makes them a whole new person. Paul was a whole different guy than he used to be. And the looks might be the same, but the insides are all changed. The mind, the thinking, it's all changed. Your wants are changed. Your desires are different. And it's a spiritual truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. So turn back with me a few pages to 2 Corinthians. It's not very far. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. We'll start in verse 16 to get the sentence going. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. When God gets a hold of you with the gospel, he changes everything. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, because of that, if anyone is in Christ, and saved with the gospel, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That old Paul that went around tearing up churches and killing people and running them off to prison, he was gone. God changed Paul's heart from the inside out, and he taught him directly. Because God had a special ministry for Paul, a special job for him to do. God didn't save Paul just to be ornamental, but he's changed his heart so he could serve him. What you want is changed. How you think is changed. If you've been affected by the gospel, if you're believing the gospel, if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, if it's not changed, then it might be just a new leaf, or it might have been an emotional decision. It could be several things, but it's not real salvation. The only way to heaven is by faith in the Jesus Christ that died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and then rose again the third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. You can be changed by the gospel. Will you ask him to save you? That's how you get changed. Just ask him in prayer. Believer, like I said before, God didn't save you to be ornamental. As ornamental as you might be, that's fine. But he saved you, so out of a heart of love for him, and this is where it really comes down, out of a heart of love for him, you want to serve him and please him with your life. Are you serving him in a local church that preaches the Bible? I hope you are. If you haven't found a church, find one that's a Bible preaching and teaching church. Ask them the question, is Jesus Christ God in the flesh, fully God, fully human? Ask them that one and see how they respond. If they say no, then find another church. If you haven't found a church, find one and get busy for God. If you haven't been a member of a church, maybe you need to join a church and become a member so you can serve God more fully, because a lot of churches will restrict ministries to non-members because they don't know that person. They haven't talked to them and gone through a membership class with them and sort out what their beliefs are. But you should be asking about membership so you can serve in a church in every way possible. Acts 2 showed the people were saved, and then they joined the church. It was the next thing. So I want to encourage you as a believer, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, don't be the ornamental kind of a believer. You might be well qualified for that, for looks. But anyway, once you're saved, get busy for God with the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just pray that you'd use this time in your word to be an encouragement to hearts. Father, I pray for that one that's not saved in this confusion about the gospel. I pray that that's been made clear. I pray that you just use this to bring someone to trust you as their Savior. I pray for the believer that's out there feeling a little bit set aside. Father, when we're able to come back together, I just pray that we'll be able to serve the Lord, serve you together here at Broadview Baptist Church, in maybe ways we haven't been doing it before. But just we look forward to that time when we can once again meet together. Use your word now. Minister it to hearts, I pray. And thank you for what you will do now. We trust you for each and every part of it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.